Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jan Balaba Giribadadhari. Gopi Jan Balaba Giribadadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jan Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jan Ranjana. Jamuna Jira Banachari. Jamuna Jira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Paramahansa Padivajakacharya Asatara Sadhishu Shimanas Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sri Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopina Shamakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktarindra Ki Jai Go Premanandi.
You are.
All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Sri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami, Dhanamani, Namaste, Saraswati, Dene, Gauravani, Kacharane, Nivishesha, Sunivadi, Pasityatya, Jesatarane, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna, reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2. We're on chapter 1, which is called the first stage of God, first step in God realization, on text number 23. Shri Sukha Uvacha, Jita Shano Jita Svaso, Jita Shano Jita Svaso, Jita Sango Jitendriya, Jita Sango Jitendriya, Stule Bhagavato Rupe. Stule Bhagavato Rupe, Manasandara Yedya, Manasandara Yedya, Shri Sukha Uvacha, Jitashana Jitasvaso, Jitasango Jitendriya, Stule Bhagavato Rupe, Manasadhara Yedya. Please chant. Jitasano Jitasvaso, Jitasango Jitendriya, Stule Bhagavato Rupe. Shri Sukha Uvacha, Jitasano Jitasango Jitendriya, Stule Bhagavato Rupe, Manasandara Yediya, Shri Sukha Uvacha, Jita Sango Jitendriya, Stule Bhagavato Rupe, Manasandara Yediya, Shri Sukha Uvacha, Jita Sano Jita Svaso, Jita Sango Jitendriya, Stole Bhagavato Rupe, Manasanga Dharendriya, Jita Sano Jita Svaso, Jita Sango Jitendriya, Jita Sango Jitendriya, Stule Bhagavato Rupe,
did yours?
Manasandara Shri Sukha Uvacha,
Sukadev Goswami said,
Jita Asana,
controlled sitting posture.
Jita Svasa,
controlled breathing process.
Jita Sangha,
controlled association.
Jita Indriya,
controlled senses.
So here's an easy question. What does Jita mean? Not this side of the room. That side of the room. What does Jita mean?
Okay, cool. Now here's another one. Here's another one. Somehow or other, this is a very a word association sounding here. Stule.
Stule.
gross matter. Doesn't that sound? Yeah, sorry. In the gross matter. Bhagavata. Unto the personality of Godhead. Rupe. In the feature of. Mana. The mind. Sadarayet. Must apply. Diya. By intelligence. So now you can say, Prabhu, don't get involved in all that stule stuff. Mata, Hare Krishna. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami answered. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami answered. If you remember yesterday Prabhupada Priya Prabhu, she had her verse 22. That was the question of Maharaj Parikit. He was wondering, how does one... please describe in full how and where the mind has to be applied and how the conception can be fixed so that the dirty things in a person's mind can be removed. So today's verse, Sukadeva Goswami answered, one should control the sitting posture, regulate the breathing process by the yogic pranayama, and thus control the mind and senses with intelligence, and thus control the mind and senses with intelligence, apply the mind to the gross potencies of the Lord called the Bharat Rupa. I'm going to read that again since I read it a little choppy, sorry. Sukadeva Goswami answered, one should control the sitting posture, regulate the breathing process by the yogic pranayama, and thus control the mind and senses with intelligence, apply the mind to the gross potencies of the Lord called the Virat Rupa.
What? Sitting posture, controlling the breathing, then the mind, I got lost.
You got lost? Well, then maybe we'll read the purport and see if it enlightens you, okay? All right. I'm going to read it one more time, so we'll go through it. One should control the sitting posture, regulate the breathing process by the yogic pranayama. In other words, we need to do he's recommending that a person does these asanas, these yoga things, but not for the be-all and end-all of doing the exercise. Ultimately, it is thus control the mind and senses, and with the intelligence, apply the mind to the gross potencies of the Lord, called the Virat Rupa. In other words, one's doing those exercises not for the sake of the exercise themselves, but in order to calm the mind down and be able to control it, to fix it on the gross potencies or the material potencies or the Lord in his form of Virat Rupa. And that will be further explained in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Omaginati mirandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master very kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm very indebted to him and beg for service life after life. And just this week I was listening to Indradumna Maharaj's series of lectures on Lord Chaitanya going to Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Vrindavan. And in there, he quoted a text from a Vaishnava poet named Sura Das in glorifying the spiritual master, which I'm trying to learn. And I don't have it 100% learned, but it's a beautiful prayer. And it says, my spiritual master gave me beautiful Kunti Mala, effulgent Tila, and the beautiful form of a devotee. And he gave me his shelter. In one hand, he holds my hand, and in the other hand, he holds the torch of knowledge by which the darkness of material existence is illuminated. And then Suradas says, my spiritual master should be offered all respects because only he can save one in the blink of an eye. Hare Krishna. Jai. Yeah, that. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada's purport, which is going to illuminate this verse. The materially absorbed mind of the conditioned soul does not allow him to transcend the limit of the bodily conception of self. And thus the yoga system for meditation, controlling the sitting posture and the breathing process, and fixing the mind on the Supreme is prescribed in order to mold the character of the gross materialist. So, here's the point of that. The point of that is that this process of meditating on the Virat Rupa, this is why it's described in this chapter, which is called the first step in God realization. And I know it's been spoken of in previous verses because it all ties together. They're all tied together. But this is the point. The point is that the majority of the persons in this age, and in previous age also, this was 5,000 years ago, the majority of the people, they just can't sit down and begin to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his wonderful activities. Because of their materially absorbed mind and activities, they're off topic, they're off center, they're absorbed in other things, in lesser things. So therefore, to bring, and because they're absorbed in materialistic conceptions, they can't transcend the bodily concept of, and Prabhupada Priyaprabhu very nicely pointed out, what is envy? What is one of the symptoms of envy? What does it mean? You're envious of a person. You're envious of some, you know, a person or personal attributes or characteristics or something. Usually it refers to a person. So a materialistic person is envious, has a natural envy because they've turned their head and their consciousness away from the Lord. They have a natural dislike, envy for the personality of Godhead. They don't want to hear about that personality of Godhead. So they're, however they've progressed in that mode of thinking, they're in the grossest darkness of ignorance. Therefore, this process, this gradual process that's being recommended for people in general, is that they sit, control the mind, breathing process, and fix the mind on the, also yesterday was mentioned pantheism, on the Lord and how his potencies are manifested through material nature. The rising sun, the wind, so many things, oh, whatever. But at least that way, gradually they're getting a concept of a power that's beyond their power. And in other words, getting put in their place, more or less. You know, I'm not the supreme, I'm not the center, although I think I am. My ego tends to think that. But actually, there are many powers much greater than me. Okay, so continuing in the purport, Abs. Okay, we're going now. Okay, unless such materialists are able to cleanse the materially absorbed mind, it is impossible for them to concentrate on thoughts of transcendence. That's what I was trying to explain. And Srila Prabhupada. And to do so, one may fix one's mind on the gross material or external feature of the Lord. The different parts of the gigantic form of the Lord are described in the following verses. Materialistic men are very anxious to have some mystic powers as a result of such controlling process. But the real purpose of the yogic regulations is to eradicate the accumulated dirty things like lust, anger, avarice, and all such material contaminations. I'll finish the purport and then come back to this point. Because I have a person who's very attached to reading the purport all at once. And he's here, so I have to follow. If the mystic yogi is diverted by the accompanying feats of mystic control, then his mission of yogic success is a failure, because the ultimate aim is God realization. He is therefore recommended to fix his gross materialistic mind by, which you could say is full of stule thoughts, by a different conception, and thus realize the potency of the Lord. As soon as the potencies are understood to be instrumental manifestations of the transcendence, one automatically advances to the next step And gradually, the stage of full realization becomes possible for him. Hare Krishna. So going back to that point of the yogis who then try to take up this instruction and take up the process of pranayama, controlling the breathing and the asana postures to try to calm the mind down to a sense so that they'll be able to fix their vision on the tip of their nose and cleanse the disturbances in the mind. If they are successful in that process, oftentimes they get, not casually, but they have to very seriously take to that process, they can get mystic powers. They can get, this is explained, Srila Prabhupada explains it briefly in Nectar of Devotion in the first chapter, in the description of the characteristics, the six characteristics of pure devotional service. So he talks about how the mystic yogi, in the yogic process, the byproducts, some of the byproducts of the yogic process are mystic perfections, anima, lagima, mahima, siddhi, etc., etc. Anima, siddhi means become smaller than the smallest. They can enter into stone by that process if they have some reason to do that. Anyway, they can get so small they can enter into stone, or one more attractive one is mahima. Mahima is become greater than the greatest. They get more interested in becoming greater than the greatest than smaller than the smallest. That's more of a quality, a humble quality. But anyway, they get attracted by that. And lagima siddhi means that they can float. They come so light that they can float in the air, and by perfecting that, they can reach the sun planet just in the ray, just by entering into the rays of the sun planet. They can reach the sun planet. So these are very astounding potencies that one can get, but they're not the end. They're not the be-all and end-all of that process. They're actually side distractions in one sense. They're distractions from the real point of the process of being able to fix the mind on ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada explains that many advances in materialistic science have already achieved similar results, where they can bore into the earth and enter into, make tunnels, etc., etc. They've now developed aircraft that can fly here and there and so many things. So a lot of these mystic cities, they're materialistic perfections. They're not spiritual perfections, they're materialistic perfections. They can do things within the scope of the material nature, and then Kamya Vasaita Siddhi is do things that are even beyond the scope of the limitations of the material modes or material restrictions. But still, all of those perfections, the mystic yogic perfections, are materialistic perfections and don't really pertain to one's level of spiritual understanding that, I'm a servant of the Lord. I've got my body. It doesn't really have anything to do with that per se, but and Srila Prabhupada says in that subsection of the first chapter, when he's talking about the mystic cities, he says material sciences has made great advancement in these areas, in some of these areas, and one who has perfected these mystic cities can achieve a great amount of material happiness. But it's not really the real thing. Because oftentimes what happens is they become enamored by the fact that they can do they have these potencies, etc., etc. So then one might question, and it's been brought up in other classes, then why is this process, meditating on the Virat Rupa, the first thing that's mentioned by Sukadeva Goswami. Why doesn't he start off with, you know, the activities of Krishna in the 10th canto? And Srila Prabhupada very systematically gives an answer to that and repeatedly addresses that question. Because if the living entity doesn't have firm conviction, firm faith, firm knowledge, firm acquaintance with Krishna and his potencies, to hear him and his, to hear of his apparent human-like pastimes in the material world that have similarity to our activities, then one might, then the tendency is not to appreciate him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But knowing as gradually as presented and systematically presented by Srila Sukadeva Goswami throughout the Bhagavatam, explaining gradually the potencies of the Lord and how his creative potencies are enacted, how he maintains the universe, how he maintains the devotees, how he's the shelter of the devotees, how he's so kind to the devotees, how he's inclined to the devotees. Unless we have information of that, then when we hear of his past, if we just started off with the pastimes of in the 10th canto, there'd be more of a chance for misunderstanding, offense, and minimizing those pastimes. So systematically, in other words, he's making, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is making broad strokes, broad attempt to get as many people on board and bring them gradually, elevate them gradually to the personal aspect of the Lord. And that's explained throughout the Bhagavatam, how the original, or that this, the personality of Godhead is understood in three phases: Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization. Each one is gradually, is incrementally more informative, more correct, more expansive than the previous stage. So that's the more or less the gist of all of that. Comments, questions, discussions? What a surprise! Ragatmika Prabhu has a comment or a question. Thank you, Ragatmika.
Yeah, that was nice how you showed how by leading up to the 10th canto, you said all these other cantos describe the potencies of the Lord and the awesomeness, the supernatural potencies, so that we don't make that mistake of just seeing him as ordinary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just as you started to talk, I remembered the whole other half of the class that I had prepared in my mind. So thank you for that. The comparison was, because I'm thinking, it's only 8:29. Okay. So the rest of the class is comparing Arjuna's situation, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter, he tells him this practically exact process of the Astanga Yoga. In order to make progress, become a yogi, you should go to a sacred place, you should control your mind in this way, and a sitting posture shouldn't be too high or too low, and you have to close your eyes, but not totally. They have to be a little bit open so you can stare at the tip of your nose. And so he's telling this to Arjuna so that he can become more advanced and more fixed in transcendental realization. Now, let's take the scene here. There's Arjuna, who spent his whole life doing what? Practicing martial arts, right? Not just practicing, perfecting martial arts. He was, and that's no small discipline. So he disciplined himself through his whole life, gruesome physical discipline, gruesome mental discipline, you know, practice, and finally practicing in the night too, and just so that he could perfect the art of warfare, because he knew it was going to be very needed. He's hearing this description from the Lord, you know, sit like this, go like that, meditate like this, concentrate your mind, and his reaction is, it's impossible. It's more difficult to control the mind than to control the wind. Now, I just thought, he even had an arrow that was a wind weapon. I'm sure he had wind weapons. But controlling the wind is easier than controlling the mind. And he said, this isn't for me, I can't do it. And so we can just think of how the difference between the candidate of his caliber and, let's say, the candidate of, you know, modern age, you know, who's thinking that they're going to do a few yogas because their back is a little stiff or, you know, whatever. Totally, you know, not even hearing that the process of yoga is not just exercise, but hearing that, not, they don't even hear that the process of exercise is, the process of yoga is meant to control the mind so that you can fix it on the personality of God. There's none of that mentioned. But what's the difference in the difference in the caliber of the persons of this day and age compared to Arjuna, who rejected that process as too difficult to execute successfully? That's the amazing thing. How this is a gradual process, but it's not a lightweight program here, you know, controlling the mind through this mechanical way. But what have we all personally experienced ourselves in our introduction to Krishna consciousness is that wherever our mind was flying off to before we met devotees, or whatever it was absorbed in, if it was even absorbed in any one thing, it probably wasn't, it was, you know, whatever. But by coming in, seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, having an opportunity to, you know, offer prayers to the Lord, to make garlands for the Lord, to think about the Lord, to decorate the Lord, to serve the Lord, to cook for the Lord, to honor the Lord's remnants, etc., etc. Where does the mind go? Right to Krishna. Much more readily, much more easily, much more happily, and with many less distractions. Because as one cultivates that service attitude, the mind becomes fixed. How many devotees do you know that are totally absorbed in one particular aspect of devotional service? Just like you could think of Sukhita. For those of you that aren't here early in the morning, Sukhita comes before Mangal Arati, probably around 4 o'clock with her little light from her phone, and goes out and finds every single flower that's blooming in the area, on the property, and brings it in and makes up flower trays. Every day she does that. And when she can't do it, she'll make sure someone else does it. So that Tulsi, the two Tulsi trays have flower, the Arti tray has flowers, the Prabhupada's Guru Puja tray has a flower, and the greeting of the deities, Arti has some fresh local flowers. And that's such an absorption. You know, so then there you have other people who work in the kitchen and they're totally absorbed. Thank you, Janak. They're totally absorbed in, you know, keeping the kitchen sane. You know, totally absorbed. Oh, what to speak of someone who's absorbed in going on Harinam or organizing Harinams or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's our process. It's so attractive and so easy to, and so, the verse is Hrishikesha, Hrishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti, Uchite, or something to that effect. I don't know the last two words, but anyway. But the Lord of the senses, he easily absorbs our senses in meditation on him so that we can serve him with our full senses. And therefore, in this age of maha distraction, we have hope to focus our mind on all the millions of YouTube videos that are out there glorifying Krishna in some way or other, in kirtan or lectures or this or that, or whatever. There's hope for us, even in this age of distraction, that our minds will become fixed on service to the Lord and the spiritual master. And that's our great good fortune. And that's Krishna's great mystic potency too. In this age when the attention span is less than a love of mantra, less than 1/11th of a second. Anything that's 2 seconds or three, what do you speak of 3 minutes long? We're already lost, you know. But all of those seconds, all of those fractions of a second that are there, that are absorbed in Krishna, go to what? The eternal bank account that's never depleted, the benefits there. So Krishna is so kind. So then, and the process is so much more available, easily executable, and shushukam kartam avyunam, and it's happy. It's a happy process. So that was the other half of the class. Thank you for reminding me. Any other comments or questions or understandings?
Yes, you just said that the bank account, the spiritual bank account, is never depleted. What about in the case of Vaishnava Aparad?
In the case of Vaishnava Aparad, the Aparad is there. The offense is there, and the result of the offense is there. And after one suffers the result of that offense, the slate is cleaned, and the bank account is still fresh.
Still there.
Yeah. Okay. It might take a long time. It might take the time. But right now we're in our Bhagavatam study with Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu. We're on the third canto, like 10th chapter, divisions of time. You know, the explanation of time from the atom. Oh my Lord. Do you know that the Vedic science, the Vedic information, can divide a second into 1,687.5, don't forget the 0.5, different divisions, 1 second. And they have, you know, nimeshas and lavas, and I don't have that down, but you know, they can divide it. And so many, the time that it takes the sun to pass over one atom is a such and such. And the time that it takes to pass over six atoms, when the six atoms together, it's a something, a nimesha or a lover or a something, sorry, I don't know. But it's like amazing how they've divided the time. And then there's the difference of time factor between the demigod's time and the human being's time, because time is relative according to the place that you're in. The ant's 100 years, his lifetime is 100 years. But according to us, we may see the ant, you know, for a couple of days, and then you're seeing his brother or his daughter, maybe, you know, because he's only around for a couple of days. But it was 100 years of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending for struggle for existence for him. We live our 100 years, and the demigods are thinking, that's just a fraction of a section. We're looking at the demigods, and we're thinking, oh, they're practically amara. They're practically deathless, because their lifespan is so much greater than ours, according to our calculation of time. But they're living only 100 years also. And that 100 years of Brahma is 1 second for Krishna, or probably less than a second. But, you know, proportion. So all of these, especially this process that's mentioned here in this first chapter, the first step, meditating on that process takes so long to perfect, to control the mind. Yet, previously was mentioned in the earlier part of the chapter about, oh wait a minute, maybe that's the third canto it was mentioned. But anyway, Katvanga Maharaj, wherever it was mentioned about, Katvanga Maharaj, he achieved his success in a moment, because he had only a moment left to live, and this came up in class a while back. Okay, he only had a moment left to live, and he left the heavenly planets and came to the earth and performed bhakti yoga and reached perfection just right away. You know, so it's all very possible. It's all very possible by the mercy and the potency of the process, and the mercy and potency of hearing from the self-realized spiritual master. Hopeful, very hopeful. Anything else? Okie dokie. So now we get to fix our mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and meditate on service to Him all day long. Hari Bol. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.